everybody. It is Friday night. It's the Rogue Show. I have sponsors. They take good care of me. You guys listen to the show enough, you know who they are. We just lost one after a couple years. Thank you, Dan, for all your love. Now, peace. Lapaki. Boy, what's up, brother?
Clock Tower's not with us anymore?
Nope. He is going to, at least this year, step back. It sounds like a dick move to say, but I'll say it. He's struggling since I left and went to the other place. So, look, it sucks, but it is. Me and Mandy left. His numbers have dropped. Our numbers are going up, and his clientele's following us because they enjoy the food and the service. So what can I say? I'm the shit, bitches. That's what I can say. Hey, speaking of being the badass,
from my hunting trip, you did make me a pretty good burger one day.
Hey, speaking of badass people who are stepping up and showing some good love, man, I want to give you a big shout out, man. Those are some beautiful packages you put together for some gyms in the Pacific Northwest. Really cool of you to do that. I thought that was really, really pretty sweet, man. Those kids are gonna love that shit.
Dude, it's going to be 109 tomorrow in Brisbane. Yeah, no, man, I think I'll be going up to Cave Sport on December 13th, so hopefully I can link up with the gyms up there that will be receiving these little gift bags thanks to Draco Impact Armor.
Sports. It's sports now.
Will they make up their fucking mind?
Well, that's the thing is, like, They're slowly transitioning over to the sports now permanently with, you know, obviously Bushido being the parent company. But I saw the new Draco boxing gloves. Dude, the 12 and 16-ounce are on sale right now. Dude, those things are sick, man. I want a pair. They look clean, dude. I mean, not that I'm really going to do anything but punch my dog around, but.
And your pud.
It'd be kind of hard to punch my pud with boxing gloves on. Did you see that horrible video on Tosh.0 where that girl boxed with that dude's nuts? What the fuck?
Yeah, I thought that was a funny video.
Dude, that guy's twisted, man. I mean, like a Sunday cone. So, I know we don't have Mr. Chris Gregory with us tonight. Hopefully he'll join us. I know Beatdown's going to be joining us in a little bit. We should tell Ben Stark.
I
want to
give a big shout out to Jared Torgerson. He won his fight tonight up in Montana, defended his ICF middleweight championship, winning by a unanimous decision over Leo Bercier. And then last night, Amy Montenegro got the big TKO win over Diana Real, which kind of pisses me off because I had a second round submission and Amy finished the fight in the second round, but as I said, it was by TKO, so I'm going to have to talk to Amy about this. She needs to get on the right page here.
Right. Hey, that's two fights
left.
Oh,
and hey, I'm not done yet, buddy. I'm not done. Don't interrupt me. I'll tell you when you can talk. It's big. Hey, man, one of Madhouse's longest supporters is turning 65 today. Eddie Blackburn's birthday, man. Happy birthday, Eddie Blackburn. Let us know how those early discounts are at Denny's and Sherry's. And next time I'm up, dinner is definitely on you because you can get that senior citizen's discount now.
Man, the stories you could tell us, man, about seeing, you know, Babe Ruth play baseball in person. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's been around the game for a long time, man. I think he was, like, one of the original training partners for Bruce Lee.
He's badass. If you guys don't know one speed, you should.
Yeah, March 28th, Cage Quest 6. Be there or be square, silly bastards.
Speaking of, man, first of all, it's a super stacked fucking weekend for MMA, let's be honest. Plus, there's some judo tournaments going on around the country, the international scene overseas. I'm trying to get all those linked up right now on RNS, folks. Hopefully I will. But, man, we got a lot of crazy fights to talk about, but I want to talk about tonight. Legacy went down. Pretty good card. I was bummed, honestly, to hear Leonard Garcia retire, because me and you are kind of old school guys, man. I mean, we understand the game, the progression of the game. We even understand and enjoy the art in the ground game that is starting to take over the sport so dominantly. But to see an old school brawler, an exciting fighter, a guy who almost, I would say 95% of the time brought it, you know, to see him announce his retirement tonight was kind of shitty, man.
It's probably for the best, man. I don't have a problem with it. I kind of thought he should have retired a few fights ago.
But do you think kickboxing would be all right for him? Because, you know, he doesn't have the worst.
He should retire.
Completely.
Yes. And I don't think kickboxing, I think he'd be better off to go just straight boxing. I don't really ever remember seeing Leonard Garcia be a savage kickboxer. He likes to throw his hands. And, you know, I mean, I think he could be successful maybe in boxing, but I just, I'm not sure that while he's a good MMA striker, I don't think that he would be able to really sit there and bang it out with some guys that just strictly box, man. It's just, I just think it's best for him to park it and hang it up and not worry about it, man. It's been a great career. He's got, you know, there's a lot of awesome fight videos of Leonard Garcia that you can go watch that are super entertaining. I just think the time has come for him to move it on.
Well, speaking of move on, we had a good friend of ours move on all the way through Buddha fights last weekend. And Jason the Grinder Gray, and what a, you know, for everyone who didn't join us Wednesday night, man, that was a good event. The grappling part, the fights, you know, were, you know, down the middle of the road kind of thing, you know. But I just saw him on social media. That's why it just hit me. Big shout out to him for winning that. I thought it was great. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to see him fight again. You know, there's definitely some people out there. And the reason I bring this up is you touched on it in a post the other day about, you know, at what point do people fucking start traveling outside their 100-mile circle to fight, man? I mean, you know, this whole fucking round robin with the same eight people is really not progressing anybody's career. It's not teaching you to be a better fighter and helping sharpening and honing your fucking skills, you know? And I don't understand, you know, this bullshit about, well, you know, they're in Seattle, I can't bring them down, it costs too much. Why? You can't go get a sponsorship for $700, $800, $1,000 to cover gas for 4 or 5 fighters to get their asses down there?
Yeah, my thing is, you don't even have to do that, man. You know, if you build your card right, you can bring a guy in to main event your fight from out of town. If you have 9, 10 fights and your other 8 or 9 fights are full of local guys that can sell tickets, that one guy ain't going to make or break your show. I mean, if you're worried about one guy coming in from out of town that's going to make or break your show, then you have bigger problems than that. Like,
that's,
you know,
a good point.
If you're not able to pack the house, you know, I mean, you got to wonder. And I really like the fact that Derek's backing it, you know, this Budo up with one in February. I think that's great. If he could do 3 events next year, I think Budo will be right back on track. And we want, you know. And
well,
Derek has been able to bring Amy Cadwell at the time, now Amy Montenegro, down from the Seattle Tacoma area to fight. And
he brought three kids in from Washington.
What tickets was she going to sell?
Or, I mean, Colorado. He brought those three boys in from Colorado.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just like a convenient little excuse that everybody likes to use. Oh, make it sell the tickets. They don't sell the tickets. No, dude, but you know what? If you put a badass fight on, I would probably rather come and watch a badass main event than all these bozos from your hometown. I could watch them guys fight anytime I want. But, you know, I mean, and the other thing about that whole post is, you know, the amateur 185 in the Pacific Northwest right now is not a stacked division. It's not. It's nothing against the guys that are fighting there, but this division is nowhere where it was, near where it was 2 years ago.
Hey,
you know,
look,
let's
look. Let's be honest right now, okay? Because you're going to be able to answer this question, I believe, pretty simply. And a lot of fans out there, if they don't know this name, fucking research it. But can you honestly say right now at 185, there is one person in the top 10 in the Pacific Northwest that could have beaten fucking Corey?
Corey who?
Hold on a second. Wasn't it Corey? God damn, he's been gone for so long already. I forgot.
Corey
Wyatt. Oh God, I couldn't remember his last name.
Oh.
Do you think anybody right now in the Pacific Northwest at 185 could have taken him on in his 2 years ago when he was doing good and in his prime and beaten him?
I don't think so. I mean, not today, no. I think a year and a half ago, I think there's probably a couple guys, amateurs at the time, that are now pros that could have done it.
That's why I said, you know, Corey from 2 years ago when he fought, what's his name, Abudo, out of Redneck Militia. Oh, goddamn, why can't I remember his name?
The kid from Pendleton?
Yeah.
The kid from Pendleton that fought Old Man Dave?
It was Corey Wyatt versus...
Justin Lambert?
No.
That's
not his
name.
It was one of his teammates. Was it Abudo 8, huh? I got too many fucking fight posters on the walls, and I'm too high. Everything's blurring together trying to stare down and look at him. God damn it, dude. I can't believe this. I need to fucking quit smoking so much.
Yeah, right. Dude, I got to give a big shout-out to the homie, man, Leslie Smith, tomorrow night. Dude, I don't really care about... You know, whatever, man. She's going to go out, and she is going to be amazing.
Isn't that card's what, like 3 a.m.?
Yeah. Well, not 3 a.m., dude. That's Courtney Casey is fighting at 3 a.m. at PXE.
Oh.
Leslie's fighting Jessica at UFC tomorrow.
Oh, that on the undercard. Hey, let's see who we got here. Hey, 253, you're live on the Rogue Show.
What's up, fuckers?
Hey, happy birthday, old man.
Dude,
did you get that first? Did you get that first dinner with the senior discount tonight?
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. It was better yet. My wife bought me dinner, so it's even better.
That's the best discount of them all, brother. Man, happy birthday, man.
Thanks, bro. Skippy,
you know,
I think it's been like 4 years in a row I've called in on my birthday to say hi to you guys.
Your birthday is a religious day around here. I actually have a Ken doll, and I have him dressed up in a Yankees hat, and I serve him a shot of rum and a cigar on your birthday.
Nice.
Except I went in with a gray marker and put in the beard.
There you go. Nice, nice. Thanks, guys. What's going on?
Talking about the amateur 185 in the Pacific Northwest, man, and how it's not really quite where it was maybe a year and a half ago.
I know. It seems like that weight class kind of died.
Look, Eddie, we were just talking about this.
Okay.
2 years ago
yeah, we'll
to a year
that later.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say 2 years ago, the 185... You had a lot of top talent in there, you know. Obviously, one of your boys, you know. There was some great talent in Washington, even over towards Idaho. But that weight class, you know, it doesn't seem to be as strong anymore. And these guys are like round-robining each other. And it's like, you know, I beat you, you beat him, I beat him, you beat me. You know, you're a coach and a promoter. At what point do you start going more than 100 miles to get talent to build up your 185ers or whatever weight class you're working on?
Well, it just seemed like for a minute, like with Alfonso and Grady Duncan and Larry Pereira and all those guys, I, you know, they were in my gym, and it was kind of like bringing in the best talent just for when I was staying busy trying to get, you know, staying in shape myself and train with these guys, and I just kept bringing 85ers in. And it was almost like every 85er wanted to come to my gym to work out with us because all the guys were here. And then, you know, a couple of them went pro, and then a couple of them got bigger and put weight on, and then a couple of me went down to a different weight class. So it just kind of dispersed out with that weight class. But I know, like, Larry is pretty much done fighting. Like, I think he's, like, 38 years old, and he just kind of did his own thing. But there's some talent coming up. I know there's a kid from Combat Sports and Fitness with Jeff Hoagland that I like to get on the next show in the future. His name's Caleb Pageant, very good fighter. And then 185-pound champion Jordan Taylor, Jordan Hyatt, I'd like to bring him back. He's in New York right now kind of doing out of the military and stuff, but he's been talking and wanting to come back. So, and then I know JT Taylor's got a tough guy down there that I like to bring up maybe and see what he's about up in this area. So, you know, there's some talent. You just, like you said, you just got to go out and find it, and it's kind of like they gotta want to fight there too, you know?
Okay, so who would you like to see Colton Howard out of JT's gym fight on your card if you could ultimately match it and know the fight would go through?
Jordan, I'd have him fight my champion, Jordan Hyatt.
I think that's a great fight. I actually mentioned that fight the other day to somebody that, you know.
I mean, like, Jordan, what you saying, you know, the 85ers are hard to find or whatever, this and that, but like Jordan Hyatt, dude, he just kind of came on the scene by accident, you know. He was a 2-in-1 fighter. I knew that he had a lot of talent, and I needed a replacement, like, within what, hours for Larry Pereira. And Larry Pereira happened to be the number one 85-pound amateur fighter in Washington State at the time, just mowing through and just taking everybody out. And Jordan came in and beat him, you know. So it was like ever since that day he beat Larry Pereira, then he got this kid on the map where, you know, beating everybody. So, and then he's taking a little break, but I'd love to see him fight Colton Howard. It'd be a great fight.
I agree. Obviously, the Pocky does because he's the one who first mentioned it.
Right, and you know, and not like, you know, blow my own horn, but kind of. I think that Cage Quest is, you know, by far the best amateur propulsion out there, and in that type of level fight, I'm thinking after that fight, one of them or two of them or both of them are going pro. You know what I mean? So it's like the level of those two. They're professional fighters.
Should you change the name of your promotion to Go Pro or Go Home?
maybe that's my slogan, man. You know, we got something new coming up.
I mean, you know,
our last fight card, we have like 9 guys, I think, Lepaki, that are going pro, 8 to 9 guys.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
That's why it's pretty rare for one of my champions to actually defend their title, because when they win that belt, they usually go pro, and it's like the last area that they go to as an amateur, then go pro, and you know, confidence level's there. But I get lucky once in a while and have a champion defend his belt, or you know, bring in somebody just as tough and they don't win. So I like what's going on with the promotion, and just a couple little things here to tweak and work on a little more and see what happens in the future.
Well, I'll tell you what, something that I, dude, that Pro Jits tournament that Budo Fights did last weekend, I really like that, man. And, you know, like you doing the kickboxing mix in the cards, I like it. Are we going to
We're all
another...
done, though, Skippy. There's no more kickboxing.
No?
No, we're done with that,
No
bro.
More.
We're
done
with
kickboxing.
Shit, too much of a headache, man. Too many whiny twats.
Yeah,
really?
I can't go through that again. We had two outstanding females fight each other, and then a coach decided that his female won the fight but didn't win the fight, and everybody in the crowd knew that she didn't win the fight, and then he's going to go, you know, get in my face and other people's faces and say the next time that I decide to have kickboxing on an MMA show that we get different judges. So, you know, these judges are certified by the state of Washington, and I try to bring the best people in to judge and this and that, but I'm not going to go through the headache with that. It's an MMA show. It's Cage Quest. It's all MMA now on.
That's a shit deal that you had some asshole have to ruin it for everybody. Hey, by the way,
oh, yeah,
asshole.
You know, and
fuck off.
You know, and You know, and I kind of built the whole the kickboxing. I mean, I never had done any kickboxing. You know, it was kind of built around that person. So it's kind of like a slap in the face to me. So I'm we're done with kickboxing.
I understand.
Well, and the thing for me is that it takes away. That was a great fight, man. And then that just
it was a great fight. It was one of the best fights of the night. And then the prior fight when they came and showed up and fight, you know, that was a great fight. She probably the knockout of the night. So, I mean, no disrespect to those people, and I don't expect it neither back in return. So, you know, if you want to kickbox, then there's other promotions out there that have just kickboxing or MMA and kickboxing, but Cage Quest is just all MMA.
And my biggest thing about it was, it took away from the fight. But, dude, it's an amateur fight. Who cares, man? It's not like you missed out on a win bonus. Or whatever, man. You fight as an amateur to learn. You know, you don't fight to win. I mean, obviously you fight to win, but it's not like winning is the end.
It's a learning experience, man. And then, you know, you get your experience and you go to the pro level, and that's what matters, man. That's what everybody's looking at, your pro record, you know. And if you want, and if I don't understand why a lot of these amateur coaches and fighters want to pad their record, there's no reason for it. And we've talked about this before. That's why, like, you know, 90% of these coaches and gyms and fighters that I work with, I mean, they'll fight anybody. And you know, after it's been a great fight, I'll come up in the cage and we'll talk about it, Lopaki. And the first thing I'll say is, this guy will fight anybody, you know, and hats off to him for even being in that cage. But, you know, there's a guy that's 9-0, and you go to look at his record, and he fought a guy that was 1-5 and 1-9 and 2-4. You know, what's that do for that guy when he goes from pro? Like, we've always talked about nothing.
He ends up like Kyle Winky. You know, he ends up like Jordan Harrington. I mean, he's working 7-Eleven 5 years later because he gets exposed when he gets to the real, where the legit fighters are, the upper echelon of athlete.
I agree, man. It's like there's no reason to pad that record. You know, it's like my amateurs will. I mean, I put them against anybody. There's no reason to pad his amateur record. You know. If one of my amateurs are 6-1, that guy had fought some good people to be 6-1. He didn't fight padded. You know, I don't pad their records at all. I let them fight anybody.
Now, with, you know, all the promotions in the Pacific Northwest, especially in Washington, you know, we all know, we don't have to say any names, but we all know who out there has got bullshit going and who's got real shit going. What happens when one of these guys that's, you know, we know is either trying to set up your fighter to be the can, quote unquote, because he thinks he can, or he wants your fighter on the card to beat somebody just to sell tickets. I mean, do you automatically say, hey, fuck, I'm not wasting my time with that promotion?
Oh, yeah, we had that in the past where, we'd send somebody like Alfonso or Rob Can, those guys sell tickets, you know, and then they'll say, hey, we're fighting this guy. And you look at his record, he's 2-5, like I said earlier, 2-6. You know, what's that do for my guy? It doesn't do anything for my guy. You know, it's doing something for that bullshit promotion, you know, so I don't really play around with that. I want my guy, like my amateurs, even my pros, man. I want my pros to fight the best guys. Look at, take Nick Coffern, for instance. The guy's 0-3, and you look who he fought. He fought Ben Fedor, just fought Albert Tedeversio. I mean, the guy has not fought canned, you know, he's fought good people. And like Nick said, he's like, I don't want to fight anybody that I know I'm going to go in there and just go smash on. I want a challenge. And, you know, these guys get out for that kind of stuff. So even my pros, I'm not, you know, we'll fight whatever.
As a coach, I mean, you know, you have, you know, like you said, there's fighters out there who are 9-0 and they're fighting upside down records. And then you've got fighters out there, maybe you're, you know, 6-4, and those four losses to them were title fight split decisions. I mean, like, you have to match make. So when you look at these, how deep into these records are you going? I mean, are you looking at the last couple of fights? Are you talking to people on the court?
Well, a lot of guys that I match, I mean, have, you know, been amateurs for a minute. There's not too many 0-0 guys or 1-1 guys and 2-2. A lot of these guys that I have on my card, on this Cage Quest card, are pretty talented fighters that, you know, that I get a really good select guys that are fighting right now where, you know, like Ardanny Mora is my champion at 155, and I think his record's 14-6. But go down them who he, that kid has fought. Holy cow, bro. That kid's fought the who of the best 155-pounders in the state. And you know, and I love matching guys like that with another talented person. I don't want that. I mean, it's good to see these two, you know, these two great warriors and tough guys fight each other, but and have that quick knockout or a quick submission. But dude, I like to sit back and watch a war, bro. I mean, I feel like I get my money's worth when there's a 5-round title fight, you know, and it goes all 5 rounds and a decision. I'm not that promoter that's matching a fight just to hurry up and get a quick knockout and hope somebody's happy about it in lopsided fight. I like an even fight, dude. And I think that's why the promotion's been so successful. When you look at this fight card and you're like, man, every fight and fight in that card is sick, you know?
Well, yeah. And it's good for you. I mean, you've got to kick back, you know, every now and again and laugh when you see some of these other promotions around your neck of the woods putting on
cards.
Well,
you know
what
I
like,
do. Skippy, you know I do. That's why that's why, you know, this promotion is better than all the other ones. And then these guys that are putting the promotions on, and I hope people are listening, they're all jealous, dude. They're leeches. They're everything, man. And, you know, this sport, I mean, I've started from the beginning of the sport to, you know, to as far as I could get, and now promoting and managing and coaching. Dude, I've seen it all, and I know who these people are. And, you know, and I think that's another thing why I got something going for me, because I've been respectful for, you know, since day one with these people. And I treat them the way I wanted to be treated when I was a fighter. And I think that's why, you know, my weigh-ins are better than some of the pro shows around here, just because I try to do everything I possibly do for these fighters, you know. And when they know that they're fighting on my fight card, they're going to be treated right. I'm not throwing you in the back barn to warm up. And, you know, you're getting luxury when you fight there. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Do you think the coaching and the matchmaking and the promoting has given you that same fulfillment as your fight career?
Oh, it's better, bro. I love, I you know, like me and Lepaki talked to, I mean, this is my wife and I's, you know, it's a hobby for us, you know, you do it. And I do it 2 times a year and maybe 3 times a year, whatever. But, I mean, we put everything into this, dude, you know, and I expect, you know, like when I get a fighter to come to my show, I expect him to be, you know, respectful to me, just like I'm being respectful to him. I mean, how many promotions sit back and have their amateur fighters sign all their posters for sponsors? I mean, not blow my own horn, but who does that, you know? And it makes that fighter feel like he's somebody special, you know?
Hey, dude, no bullshit. And anybody out there, you guys who follow me know, you can see the pictures, but I'm literally sitting right now in the studio staring at the monitors, and there's a Cage Quest 4 right in front of me, Cage Quest 1, 2. I mean, every one of them signed. And I've got what? I mean, Lepaki's been here. There's quite a few different promotion posters up here. That's the only promotion that I have every single fighter on every single fight poster signed. And, I mean, it's cool. I'm not going to lie, because I look there, like Nathan Stolen, Jordan Harrington, you know. I mean, you look over Duncan Gonzalez, you know. I mean, you know, Johnson Harrington. Yeah, it's cool as shit. I mean, for me as a sponsor, a friend, a fan, a promote, you know, a partner in, you know, helping grow your name to the fans around the world, I love it. I think that extra step, like you said, even the weigh-ins, the face-off, every single fighter has their own package labeled out. You don't have a stack of papers with some fucking goofball sitting there going, who? What's your name? Hold on a second. And looking through every single paper. Okay, here you go, Harrington. What was your name? Stolen. Oh, they're stolen. You know, every single thing's done very, very well with your promotion and the love you return, especially at weigh-ins where you allow not only the fans but sponsors, coaches, everybody to come in, chill, take photos, eat, drink, and enjoy themselves.
Oh, yeah. I just, like I said, man, from day one when you and I talked, like, what, 4 years ago, and I said I was going to do this, and if I was going to do it, I was going to do it the best possible way, you know. And I think we've done that, so, and you know, and we're thinking about, you know, seeing what happens in the future. So I'm hoping for big things, you know, and just see what happens.
Now, I know that March, you know, for some people seems like it's far away, but for you as a promoter, it's not. How deep into the card do you feel you are already? You think you got 50% of it matched up, 80%?
You know, Skippy, to be honest with you, I think there's maybe 2 fights matched right now.
Okay.
Nick and Alan and I just got tickets going to Vegas for Super Bowl weekend and watch UFC with Diaz and Anderson Silva. And I think the last thing really in my mind is starting matching that card right here, right away. Rampage called me today and wanted to know kind of the same thing, how things were going with the next Cage Quest and Seven. You know, it's kind of weird that, you know, the guy's calling me and asking me about this, but, you know, it's an honor and to work with him, you know, and I hope, you know, in the future I get to work with him some more. But, it's the last thing on my mind, really, you know, just talking bullshit with you guys. But, yeah, we're going to take this one a little slower, I think.
Okay, now here's the real serious question. What are your Yankees going to win next year? 70 games, 50 games, 30?
Shut up. I don't know, dude.
And how hard is it to swallow that $20 million that you're going to have to pay that douchebag?
He's back, so we'll see what happens. And so, I don't know.
Are you ready to become a Red Sox fan?
That'll never happen.
Hell no.
You can kick me in the nuts 10 times, and I still won't be a Red Sox fan.
I won't even allow Red Sox gear in my house, man. That's how. You know what? I don't even know that I could even if I don't even know that I could be friends with somebody that's a Red Sox fan.
And I got a couple of them, but I only see them once in a while.
Yeah, see, and you know, and I don't like the Patriots, and I really don't like the Celtics either. I just feel like
nope.
They get that, you know, they're like slime from that Red Sox.
I think they're the same people. It's the same people, dude.
Yeah, they are.
See, my team,
all garbage.
People all know they always suck and always choke, but they're afraid to say anything because we're just crazy Southerners. I'm Houston all the way, you know. I guarantee you this year, you guys watch, the Rockets going to kill it. About 3 weeks before playoff, we're going to lose every fucking game but one and not make it.
That's because you signed that douchebag Dwight Howard.
Hey,
no,
I got some news, though.
Rockets. Yeah.
I got three fighters on that January 16th Rumble on the Ridge card.
Bam, bitches! You just heard it here. Breaking fucking news. Can you tell us which
Grady
fighters?
Grady Duncan's making his pro debut.
Oh.
Rob Iron Man Cann's coming back from surgery. And Alfonso Gonzalez will be the co-main event.
Oh, shit. Yes! Hey, that's cool, man. Congratulations to see all your boys after the holidays getting in there and getting it done at the beginning of the new year. So I think that's great.
With a couple little injuries there, and they're going to be back. So we're excited for that.
They do a very good stream, man. Their product is a very tight stream. It'll be great because, you know, people all over are going to be able to watch it.
Oh, yeah. I've been working with Joe DiRabbio, good guy, you know. He's great shooter and stuff, so we've been wanting Alfonso and Rob Cann, and you know, we got Grady in the mix, and it's going to go back down to 185. 205 is too big for him, so we'll see what he does at the pro level at 185.
We just had Joe on a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago, I think, breaking down one of the cards with us. It seemed like a real cool cat, man.
Yeah, Joe's cool. Joe's a good guy.
Hey, Eddie, I tell you what, dude. Man, you, Lepaki, we all got to make a trip to Bangkok, dude. Go see some Full Metal Dojo one day.
Dude, you tell me. I heard it's cheap to go over there, and I know Alan. Alan's been over there, and he wants to go back over there.
We might plan for Full Metal Dojo.
Dude, maybe what we need to do is get some of your guys. Maybe we need to get some of your guys on the fight card over there, and then that way we have
Alfonso on the card.
Well, the thing with that is Alfonso's, you know, he signed with Legacy, so they're letting him fight here in January.
He's going to know. We won't tell anybody.
Right, we won't tell nobody. We'll smuggle him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be our little
Skippy knows making the guys. Skippy knows making the guys. I'll pull a few strings, live, you know, the Texas Syndicate, go talk to them, and it'll be
yep. We got you.
Right.
Dude, hey. You know what's so funny is those guys from Legacy, man, years ago were running like a local promotion, just like you, you know. I know.
Pretty
much,
right?
They were called the Brazos Valley Brawl, man, back in the day, you know.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're on the same kind of path, you know, a better product, you know. So, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that we'll see Zoe in the new year in Legacy because – I really, really like, you know, the way that they hype their products. I like the fact that it's on Access TV. And I think, you know,
yeah,
he needs to get back in
rumor
there.
Has it, rumor has it that a win in January, he'll be back in Dallas, Texas in February.
Cool.
I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but I did.
Yeah, well,
you won't tell anybody,
right?
You know, the only people that heard are me and Skippy. You know, we don't have any listeners.
Yeah, right.
So okay.
That's good.
Yeah, we have no listeners on this show, but we don't fucking care. This is just the cheapest
awesome.
Way for all of us to hang out and make it tell
yeah.
our wives, girlfriends, where, hey, I got to do this interview, babe. It's a radio show. I got to do it. And then I'm like, babe, hey, Lopaki scheduled, Eddie. I have to do. I'm his co-host, man. What am I supposed to do, babe? I'll be in late tonight. And then
it's,
I just
it's all
light
on
up.
Carl's dime, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what's the best. Is we're all just sitting here hanging out, dude, bullshitting about a sport we love, you know. Speaking of, I want your pick right now. Who do you got tomorrow, Verdum or Hunt?
Oh, Verdum.
I like it. I agree. Now, I just...
Who do you
about
got?
Ortiz
Leslie
and Bonner?
Leslie
oh, I like
guy.
I like Leslie
day,
Smith,
bro.
Man. She's tough, dude.
I love that girl, man. I wish she'd leave
oh,
a boyfriend.
Dude, her last
and marry
fight
me.
Was phenomenal, dude.
Now, what do you
what
guys...
What about Bonner or Ortiz?
Oh, I got
Tito. Tito's going to beat his ass.
He's going to check his oil during the fight.
Tito, I hope that Tito gets a takedown on Bonner and then spanks his ass in the middle of the cage right before he puts on a guillotine.
Like Couture did to him?
Yes.
No,
I asked
just,
Rampage
I,
today what he thought about that fight. He said he didn't care.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I honestly would like to just – I would like to see such a one-sided, like, joke fight from Tito's point, man, to where, like, Stephen Bonner in round three, they throw the towel in, literally, just throw the towel in. Because Tito doesn't try to
That'd
finish
nice.
Him. He just – He keep like he beats on him and then steps up and walks back and lets him catch his bearing. I hope it's like that. I hope it's like bully schoolyard bullshit. I mean, for you to bring WWE bullshit into MMA,
yeah, that was horrible.
Legitimacy of a promotion because you guys all think it's funny. You know, I mean, that's fucking stupid. I hope he pays. And first of all, I'm gonna say this right now, folks. Stephen Bonner never a top 10 fucking douchebags. Okay, he had one great fight in his career, and you guys want to ride him like he's a fucking Jesus walking on water. Fuck you, dumbasses.
I'm going to check with that. I'm excited
honest.
For that Chandler fight, too, man. That was a good
now
fight the last time
fight,
those two fought.
Dude, that fight has me more excited than any other fight on that card.
Yep, that's going to be a great fight.
Here's the thing is, and this sounds shitty, I want Brooks to lose a fucking beautiful fight, split decision.
So you can see another one.
No, so that we can see him leave that organization. Because if
yeah,
he's champ, he ain't going nowhere.
Too.
Yeah, if he's champ, he ain't going nowhere for a while. So let him lose a nasty split, finish out his fight contract, you know, could, you know, and then bolt. Oh, damn. Blue dream, baby. I'm dreaming blue tonight.
Hey, well, fellas, I'm going to get off here, but it was cool to talk to you.
Hey,
hey
I'm going to
go have a Coors Light for your birthday, my man. I'm going to crack open a Rolling Rock for you and tip one back.
Sounds good, buddy.
Happy birthday, brother.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you soon. Lopaka, you be calling a couple
right,
days
man.
To talk to you about something.
That sounds good, buddy. Give me a shout.
Uh-oh, the fuck is going to have a baby. Ah! Oh, later.
The great one speed, Eddie Blackburn, going back
enough.
To celebrating his birthday now.
Dude, that's fucking cool. Every year on his birthday, he does call in and hang out. Gotta love
that. You know, who wouldn't want to spend time with us on their birthday?
Only somebody who is slow-witted. Yeah, I wish we could have seen the whole fight, buddy. Went all five rounds, and you kicked ass. Got that decision.
I got to see the first three rounds. They were great. I just didn't get to see the important rounds.
So, Holly Holmes out again. I'm curious to see how this is going to play out, man.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something that's really been pissing me off here the last few weeks, man. I don't understand what it is with these fucking bums, but this is the third weekend in a row at one of these, you know, mid-level organizations where a guy in a title fight does not have the class, respect, or professionalism to make weight. And I'm so glad that Justin Gaethje said, if you want to fight me, you're going to pay me half of your purse. And for Mike Chipetta to think that that's extreme, go blow yourself in the corner. These guys, you agree to make weight. That's your job, man. If my job said, hey, Rob, you need to be here at 8, and I was like, well, I'm going to work 8 to 5 today. I'm going to show up at noon, and you can pay me for the whole day. Get the fuck out of here is what they would tell me. I'm so sick and tired of these bums, Mike Ricci, Melvin Gillard, who's long been one of my favorite fighters. Man, I love the young assassin, but, dude, come on, bro. You got two things to do as a fighter, fight and make weight.
And to talk all that shit building up to this and to miss weight, you look like a schmuck. I have to agree with you on all this.
I agree, man.
You know,
I like what Aziz said to him. You lose this fight, you're going to be an F League fighter.
Yep, I love it. Hey, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think every promoter out there, if they were smart, they would put in every fight contract, you miss weight, it's 50% of your purse always.
Dude, I'm almost to the point now where if you miss weight as a professional fighter, you shouldn't get to fight. Your opponent should get his show and win money, and you should be SOL.
Wow. Could you think?
And half of your fucking money. Well, they should get half of your money, their show and win money, and you shouldn't get to fight.
Man, you know, these guys, you know, they want, like Melvin, you know, if he is not somewhat financially secure from his UFC career, he's a schmuck.
Yeah.
He's a fucking moron. I heard that comment tonight that Chiavello made about Melvin Gillard and his last loss and about how mentally he was distracted because the IRS, you know, had taken so much money and he was taking that fight on knowing he got nothing out of it. The IRS was going to take the full fight purse from him. And, you know, so he really didn't care. Excuse me? I mean, Leonard Garcia should be one of the few people out there with a mil or two at least, you know, stashed in the bank, living in a decent house, driving a nice car. Okay? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, look, if you're a fucking moron and you blow all your money and you can't, and now you're fighting in what you call a B-League organization and you can't make weight and you're going to lose 50% of your purse because of that, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know, man. If you told me I was going to have to give up half my money because I didn't want to diet an extra 2 pounds, 3 pounds, I'd laugh at you like you're a buffoon.
I guarantee you a lot has to do with his age, but, you know, it's not as easy as it was 15 years ago for him to get down to these weights. But why? I mean, why not quit hurting himself and fight at a higher weight? If you're, you know, you're an A-list fighter in a B-list organization, then step up a weight class and prove it.
I don't see that happening, bro.
I don't either, but these guys who struggle to make weight, you know, like that whole fucking whiny bullshit with Galston about Mike Dolce not returning his call, you know, I mean, dude, there's, I mean, 1,000 fighters.
Gastelum. Are you talking about the Gastelum?
Gastelum, yeah.
Yeah.
That article about
Dolce.
That, yeah, did you read that article about how he tried to get Dolce to come work on his camp, but then he showed up in Mexico City?
I don't read anything that involves Mike Dolce. The only thing I read about Mike Dolce is I like to go over to mixedmartialarts.com, pull up Mike Dolce's fight record, and then see where it says JT Taylor defeats Mike Dolce. And then I sit back and I go, yeah, that's fucking rad. And then Mike Dolce's out of my life for some more weeks. Then a couple weeks later, I come back along and I'm like, oh yeah, Mike Dolce, let's go look at his record again. And I pull up mixedmartialarts.com, and sometimes I go to the app on my phone and I look at Mike Dolce's record and I see JT Taylor defeats Mike Dolce. And I go, there is a God in this world. Praise Odin. And then I click out.
Speaking of gods in this world, I believe we have a southern god. He sounds like he's giggling it up. What's up, Beatdown?
What's happening, man? What's going on tonight?
Just doing my regular shit talk on Mike Dolce, buddy.
No, dude, I heard that, I didn't watch it, but I'm hearing from y'all that Kevin Galar missed weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 pounds almost.
4 pounds?
He came in at 158.8.
Wow.
Then he went back and he missed, then he went back and cut, and he went down to 158.6 and then said, I'm not cutting anymore.
So what's up? The fight's off?
No, they're going to fight. Gaethje said, if you want to fight tomorrow, you're going to give me half your purse.
Okay.
And so Gaethje said, okay.
Damn.
I guess getting half your show money is better than getting none of your show money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I like Melvin, man, and it sucks. You know, I really wish he wouldn't have done this. I think this was a fight that he could have won. But now I don't really think that, man. I think the way that Nick Newell was able to touch Gaethje's chin, this was a fight that was really set up pretty well for Melvin, and I think he really kind of fucked the dog here.
Dang. And here's the thing is, if
Melvin wins, the only guy from Louisiana I don't like is Daniel Cormier.
Yeah.
And he's even from my damn hometown, that little motherfucker.
Man, I just seen some fights at Renaissance MMA.
Good.
How did the card go?
It was pretty good. I got another win. Brendan Sabat won the lightweight champion, Renaissance champion. He won my armbar, man. It was something sweet.
That's cool as shit, man. So you grabbed
some
poodle points.
Yeah, I guess so.
Look, I think I got those. You got to be careful with Skippy doing all the tracking, though, man. I'm not sure he's keeping track of things the right way, Pete, now.
No, Beatdowns, dude, did you not see that badass post? Oh, did you just send me, you sent that to me in a text, huh?
What?
Your fight card, your Poodle Points fight team.
Oh, I see how it is. I'm not in on the texting, huh? I'm not in on the texting. I see how it is, you fuckers.
Dude, he sent me, it's his logo with his fight team and their wins and when they're fighting next. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, man,
it's
for everybody.
It's hard for me to soar like an eagle, man, when I'm surrounded by you, Kuyang.
Hey, do you want me to make you one? Hey, send me a list of your fighters.
Oh, I'll definitely do that. Yeah, I'll put together a list with all their wins and fight dates and send it to you, because that was pretty badass, bro. I liked it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You guys might cry when you see how many points I got.
She got 12?
I think I'm up about 16, 17 with guys fighting tomorrow night. Yeah. Sarnowski, I got 2 or 3 points last weekend. Boom Boom Salmon and Sarnowski won. The weekend before that, I got some points and Vasilevsky won. This weekend,
yeah.
I got 2 or 3 guys scrapping. Got my boy... Justin Gaethje going to bring home that well, non-title now, so he'll always be on the belt, but going to get that dub for sure.
Yeah, I got one fight tomorrow, Gage Duhon, and then the following weekend I got Lanny Dardar. So Lanny Dardar's fighting against Kyle Bradley, man.
Does it make it out the first round?
Say again?
Does it make it out the first round?
I hope so.
Well, he ain't getting paid by the hour, man. Get in, get out.
I know, but it's not too exciting when they all in the first 30 seconds, you know?
Oh,
hey,
yeah,
you know,
we call that...
Most of these buffoons that show up to these fights, you know, that's all they want to see, man. They don't care about watching a good fight. They ain't
We up here in the Pacific Northwest, we call that an FCFF card. Fucking trash fucking promotion.
Hey, what y'all watching? Y'all watching all three more? I mean, what y'all watching tomorrow?
Honestly, I think I'm gonna try to start the day early. If it's gonna start early, somebody said it starts at 4, but the when Champions Collide Muay Thai event in Colorado that our boy Jeff Cisneros putting on with Sparta Combat League, I want to try to catch that. But if it starts late, then I'll watch that on a replay, and I definitely want to see how World Series of Fighting is going to play out.
I'll probably watch some PXG here in a few hours, then I'll watch some Cage Warriors, then I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm going to watch. I might watch football tomorrow night. I'll probably tune in to UFC to watch Leslie Smith fight. I think that'll be fight of the night on UFC 180, her and Jessica I. And then, I mean, it's not an exciting card.
Are y'all interested in the Stephen Bonner fight and Tito Ortiz?
Not really.
Tito beat the living daylights out of him.
Yeah.
I heard it's going to be a tag team match and somebody's bringing a chair.
Hey, how great would that be to see, like, Scott Coker fucking going off the top of the cage with the chair? King Mo, like, diving in. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you a card not to miss, and tomorrow, anybody out there who knows, Wizzy's got the hookup, is Absolute Championships Beirut 11 going down up in Russia, co-promoting with M1 Global. Folks, this is like the 12th promotion in the history that M1 that they've co-promoted with. Why the fuck other people can't do that, I'll never know. But that's a deep card. It's going to be free on Russian television, too. So.
Hey, that's not the one that Deuce Garner's fighting on, huh? Kenny Garner?
No, dude, Deuce is he's fighting back at M1. Shit. First of all, he's going to get his ass kicked. He almost got just destroyed by Matt Kovacs. And then... he came back and won a boring fight after that, but I thought Deuce was fighting back in M1. God.
Isn't that the M1 that goes to Japan or China? Asia, right?
It's the December 17th card. I don't think it was in... maybe it was in...
I talked to him. He told me he was. That's what he told me.
Okay. I thought the China event was in January, but I could be completely wrong.
No, it's coming up.
Do you know, it's funny because most people don't know this, but they don't actually have a license for fighting, they have a cultural event license. The shit you learn, huh?
Nice.
Yeah. You know, I liked Kenny over there when he was in his prime, when he was having his wars with Gorham. Rip Gorham, everybody pour a little out. You know, I don't know. I don't think he's the
same. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, Kenny. Yeah, Skip, I'm sorry to hear that, man. I know you was a big fan of his, too.
Dude, When he was supposed to come to the States and fight down there in Arizona, when M1 and Strikeforce did that deal down there, and then it ended up just being M1 by itself when it was all said and done. I was so bummed because, like, I was ready to travel. I was like, I'm going to go meet this guy. Dude, I don't care what anybody says, man. That guy had a fucking huge, bright future in front of him. 6'5", 249 pounds, moved like a 205er, had great, great ground game, had solid hands, getting better, young. He was 28, man. Shit. That guy, man. And let's be honest, his first two fights with Deuce were just fucking monster fights. Yeah, that sucks. I guarantee you, you see something tomorrow morning, folks, or this morning, depending on where you are on the whole deal. You know, they're probably gonna run a little memorial on that TV for him.
That's cool.
Yeah. You see, they got the St. Petersburg's cards in December.
Skipper, you should have came over there to I'm driving, man.
Oh, well, good. We're keeping you awake. How far do you got to drive home?
About 45 minutes, maybe.
Did you take the boy with you tonight?
No, man. It was in a casino, so I couldn't take him.
Oh. What's he got on the schedule, man?
What he has? Well, tomorrow, I mean, he's not fighting anytime soon. My younger boy is going to be doing a jiu-jitsu tournament in New Orleans. So, but Kobe's taking a break with his boxing. I guess, I don't know, probably next month or something like that. December, he'll be probably looking at another fight.
Shit, that's right. He's fighting Sergey at a super heavyweight fight.
Yeah, Sergey Karatanov?
Yeah, at a super heavyweight fight. He's replacing Ishii.
That's it?
Yep, he's fighting in 9 days.
9 days, wow. Well, I know he's in Florida right now, but he said he was going to be flying out.
Dude, Grabowski's on this card, the Polish pit bull. Fuck, this is going to be a big boy card. Dude, I know we were talking about fights coming up this weekend. Who do you got on Chandler Brooks?
You asking me?
Yeah.
I hope, man. I'd say Brooks is going to do it again.
I'm not going to lie. I hope.
Me too. I hope. That's what I'm hoping. But, I mean, dude, they don't even put him with the belt on the poster.
You know, I said it earlier. I want to see him, like, lose even a controversial split decision, you know, just so that he can finish his fights under contract and leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought that's fair. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
Damn. So tomorrow night, World Series of Fighting. You also got Brace tomorrow, Top FC in a few hours, fucking, you mentioned Cage Warriors 74, and by the way, folks, hit up MMAMadhouse.com, we got the most recent card, there have been a lot of fucking changes on that card. Down in Brazil, MMA Superhero 7 going down. Up here in the Pac Northwest, we got Knuckleheads 10, A-Town Throwdown, obviously the Bellator and the UFC we talked about. Shudo Fororo 2 Kunlong Fight 13, which is another Chinese promotion, folks, on the islands. there's all kinds of good shit going down this weekend.
Gil Guillory's putting on another show in Lafayette too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good card.
Looks like a pretty good card. One of my picks is fighting the main event, Gage Duhon.
Oh, you got all these main eventers. You're smart, man, because those guys are going to fight a lot as long as they keep winning.
It just happens.
You're down there pulling fucking favors. Huh? You're like, dude, hook me up. I need some wins.
No, no, no.
Come on. I know.
No. I don't even tell the fighters. I should, but... Yeah, I like what you told me yesterday about the guy saying, man, of all the people you could have picked, you picked me, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, you know?
Well, it is.
I like
I mean,
when I pick guys to lose a fight. I like when I pick guys to lose a fight, and then I have to interview them in the ring after their fight, and they're calling me out for picking against them. That's always exciting, let me tell you.
You know, hey, is Jeff calling in tonight?
Not that I know of.
Hey, listen, in an MMA match, when the corner throws the towel in, what is that? What would you call
Fight's
that?
Over.
It's a technical, that's a TKO.
No, it's a timeout.
What?
What?
That's, yeah. Listen, man, this guy was fixing to get his arm snapped.
Hold on. Did you say a timeout? Like, they stopped, like the referee goes timeout and...
Stood
like
him
that?
Up
you...
and made him start again.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And deducted a point because that's, you know, I've never heard that.
Dude, that's blowing my mind right now.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Thanks, bro. Thanks.
Dude, that's like that shit fucking the hard-hitting hillbilly went through. You guys remember that shit? When he was in Kazakhstan
yeah,
fighting.
Was he the guy when he was fighting the guy? The guy was like trying to call timeout in the middle of the fucking fight.
Dude, no, remember? Okay, he fought for the king on the 25th anniversary for their independence. And in the middle of like round two, he busted the guy open. So they stopped the fight, wrapped him up, like stitched him up, wrapped him up with gauze, put him back in the fight, and let the fight keep going. I was like, who the, what the, wow.
Well, the thing is dude, that the guy was dominating, and he had him in Kimura, and man, he's fixing to, you know what I'm talking about? And he's fixing to snap that arm. His corner throws the towel in. The ref grabs the towel and throws it back out and calls a timeout and stands him back up and makes him start in the middle again.
And, like, it did, like,
the fight.
Say again?
Who ended up winning the fight?
Well, the guy, I mean, he just came back. I mean, the guy took an unnecessary beating, you know?
That's fucking nuts, man. I remember the guy, and I'm trying to think of who the hell it was, but he was getting blasted up against the cage, and instead of tapping out, he was sitting there signaling for a timeout.
A timeout?
I didn't know what the hell was going on, man.
Yeah, I think I said this ain't, man, I don't know what, man, just, I couldn't figure it out, so I figured I'd blow your mind by asking you that.
Mission accomplished, my friend, mission accomplished.
Dude, I can't wait to see the fucking video on that one.
Yeah. I was confused. Well, I wasn't confused. I knew that wasn't right. But he said in the rules, it clearly says that there's no throwing the towel in.
Well, yeah, what the towel, that, like, and that's a misconception that a lot of people have. They think that immediately throwing the towel in is the end of the fight. It's actually at the referee's discretion. He does not have to accept the towel being thrown in as a sign to end the fight. Now, typically, most guys will end the fight there, you know, out of courtesy and respect for the coaches, but it is not a mandatory thing to have happen.
Well, that don't mean it's a timeout either.
Oh, it ain't no fucking timeout. Yeah, you're damn right.
No, you don't stand him up from a dominant position.
No, you definitely don't do that either.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't wait to see this fucking video of the fight, man, because, I mean, that's going to have to, you know, that's going to have
now,
to
the,
fucking.
Now, if the guy would have won, that would have been like, wow, that would have sucked, you know?
Well, that's, yeah, but I mean, like, to stand up a guy from that position, that's just fucked up, bro. But you know what? That is local MMA. You know, you're going to have problems, you know, things, you know, we see it with judging a lot more than reffing, but we've seen plenty with reffing. Look at Kim Winslow.
Yeah.
Dude, that bitch, I tell you right now, dude, she's so bad. What was that thing we told, what was it we said to Hamlet that night? She'd stand you up during sex, you know, I mean, you know, some rest of that way, man.
Oh, fucking Kim Winslow.
It always seems to be the same room.
Hamlet up a wall.
Dude, so what do you guys think about that lawsuit that XFC's filing in American court?
Dude, you know, XFC can fuck off, man. They can go fucking piss on themselves for all I give a shit.
Is that
they
like
got fucking, you know, those motherfuckers, man. It, you know, of course, Shane has opportunity to go fight Joe Ellenberger as the debut fight in the UFC. Dude, the most winnable debut fight that most guys could ask for. And no disrespect against Joe Ellenberger. I think you're a good fighter. I just don't think that your striking would be enough to maintain the beating that Dave would want to put on you with his hands. And they refused to let him go and take that fight. And then 5 days later, they're like, all right, we're going to cut you now. Like, what the fuck you mean? Now you're going to cut him? And now they got Courtney Casey locked up in some contract baloney, and they won't let her out. Fortunately, they let her go fight in PXC, probably because it's halfway around the world, and they don't think anybody knows about it. But, you know, whatever, man. Courtney told me that PXC treats her 10 times better than XFC ever did.
XFC is, I mean, anybody out there who knows the background story to how that all came about, man, that's some scandalous motherfuckers, man. I'm telling you right now, dude, you know that promotion is being backed with, like, some fucking Colombian drug lord money.
Yeah, I probably got a hit spot on my way to my house right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're ready. They come through the door, I'm ready.
Yeah, Pocky's going to fucking... He would love that. He'd be like, dude, officer, all 8 guys came through the door. What was that supposed to be?
It's like funny, I like look across my house right now, I look across my living room right now. I got 3 bags of MMA gear, a kettlebell, my shotgun, a rifle, and my pistol all sitting next to my fireplace.
You gotta love that.
Please, break in. Please, break in. Come on in, Johnny.
Oh, that's great.
I'd be like, this was the wrong house. Sir, we didn't mean to break in your door. Hey, man, hey, be down. Are they going to get rid of this Mary Landro bitch down there or what? God damn.
Wait, what?
They gonna vote Mary Landro out here in this runoff?
No.
Do you think she gets reelected?
I mean, look, hey, don't get me involved in politics. I stay out of all of that.
Dude, my two passions, man, MMA and politics. Dude, it's a great mix.
Oh, no, you ain't getting me involved in all that arguing. I think they ought to fight it out like men.
I'm down. I'd be down to see that. What if they did an arm wrestling match?
Hey, what about your girl KGB?
Man.
Oh, shit.
She looked good in that fight, bro.
Yeah. I seen some highlight videos. She kicked somebody's finger off. I never knew about that.
I think, though, I mean, for me, I mean, she had a really, really strong first round. But I think as the fight went on, you could tell, you know, and it's probably the fact she hadn't really been the distance in a fight like that. But, you know, I think she needs to work on her gas tank a little bit because at that level she's going to be having more fights go longer than that 3-4 minute time zone, you know. So I think she fixes that, she'll be good to go.
Nice.
But, I mean, she's got all the talent and ability in the world.
You been keeping up with Tough too?
Man, I to be honest, man, I turned on last night Tough. I thought it'd be a good fight. Tisha and Beck Hyatt. I had to show on for about 30 seconds, and I was ready to go and swallow some bullets out of my pistol because I had a headache from all the cunty, bitchy, whiny, fucking. It almost made me miss Julian Let's Bang Bro Wayne being on the show.
Was it as bad as
man? I just can't do that shit, beat down. I just can't. It's like, you know, just shut up and fight. And I don't give a fuck if you don't like this girl or what, man. You don't got to, you know. I don't care about the drama and, you know.
You mean you watching the whole show?
I couldn't. I mean, I watched 30 seconds. I didn't even watch the fight.
Oh, fuck. Dude, that was fucking great. Oh, fuck. Hey.
Who do you think wins it? Who do you think wins that show? Be down.
Hey, man.
Tisha.
Who do you think wins it? You're taking Tisha?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did I say that too fast? Let me think about that.
I'm thinking Rose.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be cool, too, though. Rose is tough, man. She's got some skill.
I would agree, man. Who do you think, who wins that at Mississippi State Alabama game tomorrow?
Wait, what?
What?
Who wins Mississippi State Alabama tomorrow?
Alabama.
By 10? Because I'm not taking the points, man.
See, I'm not betting with y'all on football.
Texas got Oklahoma State tomorrow, Skippy.
I know. But I will, you know what? After their shellacking last week, I'm hoping to see another performance like that. Otherwise, we're going to get another loss. And I'm going to be honest, folks, I'm a diehard Longhorn. I piss burnt orange, okay? Go ahead and stab me and see if little fucking cow skulls don't come out instead of blood. I am Longhorn. I want them to have a shit fucking season so they'll fire Charlie Strong and get a real coach.
Why, dude? Charlie Strong is fucking awesome, dude. You're a fucking
moron.
Yeah, you
know what?
You think you don't want him to be your coach.
I don't. Mr. I can turn defenses around. We got one of the worst defenses in the Pac-12. Our record shit.
Yeah, because he's dealing with Mack Brown's dog shit recruits. He's dealing with Mack Brown's dog shit recruits. And actually, your defense has been pretty fucking strong all year. If you pay attention, your offense has been the problem.
Dude, our defense has not been what it should be, period.
Yeah, but your defense ain't been what it should be for 4 years now.
Yeah, and I'll admit that fucking Mack Brown should have stepped down sooner. It's hard to turn down that kind of fucking dough to sit around and be fucking pampered. I can admit it, okay? I can truthfully admit it, okay? But it doesn't matter. We still have top elite Texas football players in that program. We should be performing at a much better. I mean, fuck, dude. we got Shipley on there, and they never throw him the goddamn ball, like it seems. Like, that
dude,
kid just gets
the 5'5" fucking white guy, man.
Yeah, and he's fucking amazing if you put that ball anywhere where he can grab it. Oh, shit, who else is here? Hey. We got another. Hey, 256, you're live.
Yo, what up?
What up?
What's going on?
Welcome to the Rogue Show. Who the fuck's this?
Yo, this is Billy.
Hey.
I got some advice for Texas. If they want to do better, they should take some cocks in their ass.
Ah, good idea. Just
hell
like your
mom. Yeah,
man.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Billy. Hey, I want to thank you for calling
what
in.
What?
I really want you to be clever. Hey. Oh, fuck, dude.
Oh, Merry fucking Christmas!
That's pretty talented. Oh, fuck. Thank you, Billy, for calling in. Have a good night, brother.
Hell yeah, Roseanne!
Oh, I guess we're not the only ones getting fucked up. Billy, it was a pleasure talking with you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate the support here on the Rogue Show. Roll Tide, buddy, Roll Tide.
Everybody, you guys always know the phone lines are open, 310-742-1799. Skype in, call in, type in, text in, send me a letter. I don't give a shit. That was a pretty decent one. It's been a while since we've had... Dude, we used to get a lot of prank callers back in the day. Remember that girl who called us that one night in the bathtub? She sat for like an hour talking, getting all drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, dude, I mean, we've had some great prank callers over the years. It's always funny, though, when you get a group at a party and they're all calling from the same number and you can hear them all in the background. Hold on, I think I'm on. Hold on, I think I'm on.
Hey, Skip, I'll call you right back.
Yep.
Okay, man.
You got to go check in.
I know.
Yeah, so let's look at Texas here. Let's just look at their stuff. They don't like doing defensive stats for... Well, you still make a bowl game. You beat Oak State, and then you beat TCU. You're in a bowl game, man.
Yeah.
It's got to make you happy.
Dude, Malcolm Brown, our best rusher's only got 600 yards on 151 carries, dude.
That ain't bad. That's 4 yards a carry. But that ain't
yeah.
Like Duke Johnson, man. I got Duke is the man. Duke is at 1,200 yards, man. He's a monster. And my Hurricanes are 6-3. They're going to knock off Florida State tomorrow night on the 5 o'clock game here on the West Coast. So everybody make sure you tune into ABC and watch the Hurricanes destroy the Seminoles. Brad Kaya for the win, baby.
The Seminoles. Is that where that rapist plays? No, that's Florida State.
Yeah, that's the same place.
Oh, is it? Oh, so you got... Oh, cool. Go beat the rapist. Way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. The convicts down at University of Miami, they don't like rapists.
Nope. I tell you what. I would like to see them lose, and I want to see Oregon lose in the Civil War. I'd like to see him, their dreams crushed on a 0-0 on the clock fucking penalty kick because a field goal because of a penalty Like they shanked the first one, the Beavers, to win the game with 1 second left. Something stupid, flag comes out. They get another shot, move it up 15 yards. They nail it. End the Ducks season. Oh, yeah, that's how I want to see it. And I want it to be a stupid penalty. Just, a basic penalty that costs them it. Oh, TCU's going to kick the shit out of us.
I don't know, man. You thought that last week. Everybody, I loved Texas against West Virginia last week. Everybody laughed at me. Man, I was the one laughing at the end of the day.
Well, I thought Texas,
I think Texas can beat
well.
TCU. At the end of the day, man, Texas is still Texas and TCU is still TCU.
Look, can you imagine you guys pull off and knock them off, the Beavers pull off and knock them off, and we knock off TCU, what that would do to the fucking Final Four? It would look crazy.
That would be awesome. Then you'd be all about Charlie Strong. You'd be like, yeah, Charlie Strong is the man. Charlie Strong is the man, son. He's the man. That's my coach, Honky. My coach.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, at the same time to see, you know, how Oregon will end up doing if they make the playoffs.
I think the thing for Oregon is that, you know, that their offense is so different that they can catch some of these teams off guard.
Except for Arizona State. I think Arizona State's the guys who can knock them out in the Big 12 championship, and I think they can do it easily. I think they have a better game all the way around.
Hmm.
Be down here live.
What do you think, man? You think Yushin wins tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah. I think Yushin pulls off the victory. That's to me.
I think he ends up actually tapping him out.
If anybody would have said that they're an A-list fighter in a B-list league, he, I think, could have said it. And it would have rightfully been so.
The thing. Hold on, I thought that the Faria fight, I thought that Kalender Faria wasn't fighting. I thought that's why XFC was suing World Series of Fighting.
I think they're going to go ahead with the fight and said, we'll fight it out in court. And what's going to happen is it's going to be Zuffa mob money versus cocaine drug lord money. We'll see who wins that fight.
It has nothing to do with Zuffa, dummy.
Oh, yes, it does.
Pro Series of Fighting ain't in bed with Zuffa. That's for damn sure. They're in bed with Pancrase.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of Jessica Aguilar getting these cheap decision wins, man. I don't really think she's the number one bantamweight in the world, or strawweight, or whatever weight class she's in nowadays. I think there's a lot of girls at 115 out there that can beat her.
Well, look, let's be honest. I mean, the first fight, she did beat the shit out of our girl, but the second fight, she didn't. And
who, Megumi?
No,
Little P.
And Little P, is by no stretch, you know, a top five talent, you know. I mean, not to be disrespectful, but she's not. I mean, Little P has a win over, you know, Lisa Ellis. No, she doesn't. Jessica has a win over her. But that was a few years ago. And, I mean, if you look since then, she fought, you know, a good talent, but not a great talent. And then she fought a great talent at the end of their career. You know, I mean, she really hasn't been impressive. Does she have any finishes at all? Or all
Aguilar,
her
nothing I can remember, man. She's
yeah,
a decision monster, and she steals decisions. Like, there's, like, the Little P fight. I thought Little P won the split decision. I didn't think that Jessica beat Megumi Fuji. They gave her that decision.
Hey, man, there's been some bullshit.
What happened
stuff
to Little
Pete?
She's living
she retired,
in Montana.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
she
retired,
up,
bro.
She's
retired,
living up
right?
in Montana. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just chilling out there, man. Like, I know she's still, like, at the gym, you know, teaching kids and stuff and, you know, doing that whole, like, country living, you know. But other than that, you know, I haven't heard much from her.
Right.
Hey, whatever happened to that kid, Danger or whatever from down there? He was on that one TV show on MTV, Pete. Now,
man, he was fought. Man, I just seen some. He was fighting somewhere. I ran across him. Man, in Bossier, you know where that is? Not Bossier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he's fighting. He just fought on a card there. I'm pretty sure that's where it was.
Well, fuck it, boys. Let's call this shit a night, dude. I've worked like 3 14-hour days in a row at the fucking bar and snuggling show and fucking...
Yeah, in the empty bar. It ain't like you really did much work. It was
oh, my God, dude.
I
could not believe it. I did $600 for fucking lunch in like 3 hours, dude. I was like, really? Where the fuck are all these people coming from? I blew through fucking 40 burgers, and I got to make that shit by hand. Right, and I'm going to tell you right now, y'all bitches ever... order onion rings, I'm going to beat your ass. I'll just tell you that right now.
Dude,
don't fucking...
to order onion rings.
Oh, my God, dude, because I got to hand dip every single one of them motherfuckers.
Oh,
and I'm in the middle. I got like 20 tickets up, and all of a sudden I get, can I get a half order of onion rings? I'm like, motherfucker. Fuck.
Take
dude,
them off
like
the menu.
No, because everybody loves them, man. I can't. It sucks. I should have never started doing hand-dipped onion rings, man. Fuck.
Do you put some Tony Sachery in your flour mix or what? You put a little heat behind them?
What I do is I use Wild Ride Brewery's Whoop De Woo. Wheat ale and
man,
tempura.
That's like drunk food.
Oh yeah. And then I use tempura batter. I whip it up, I have it nice and like almost thin, not like pancake, less than pancake consistency. And then flour them, you know, hand cut an onion, flour them, dip them, drop them in the fryer. But it's not as quick and simple as it sounds, man. It's
but you
bitch.
Don't put no Tony Sacheries in them so they got a little heat behind them?
No.
You should add that into your mix, man.
I could. But I'm trying to go.
What's the gold? What's the gold? What's the gold bottle? Is it that? No, not Zataran. It's fucking shit. It's, damn it, man.
Though beat down, you should when you come up here, you gotta try my bitch stout patty melt. I soak hamburger meat in beer overnight in this dark chocolate stout. Cook it up with the onions, man. I deglaze them with the same beer and a beef broth. Reduce it down over some fucking half-inch thick cut marble rye, couple slices of Swiss cheese, some fucking homemade thousand. This shit's fucking crack.
So you use thousand, you don't use French good?
No.
Or
I use
Russian?
Thousand. No. No, look, dude, you want that kind of sweetness to go with that heavy bite of the beer.
Oh, I agree.
You know, it's important.
Well, to counteract that rye bread, man. That rye bread, you need some countering, man, because that shit is disgusting.
Not mine, dude. I get it fucking homemade, fresh baked, dude, and this shit's a marble
rye. All
rye
bread is disgusting, dude. All rye bread is fucking nasty.
Dude, you'd like, dude, nah. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Okay. All nasty.
Hey, where is that shit? I'm going to wrap up the show, you guys. You'll like this one. Eagle!
Hey, hold on.
From the stars of Trailer.
Motherfucker, I'm not done. Hey, man, here's the question. Why is this for an interim title? Why isn't Will Brooks the actual title holder?
Thank
you. Fuck interim titles. They're stupid. Tomorrow's UFC fucking interim title. Bullshit. I'm going to tell you right now, an interim title means I'm the number one fucking contender. So let's make every number one contender fight a fucking title fight, you dumb bitches. Dude, like you just saw today, Kane coming out. Well, the winner of tomorrow is not the real champ. No shit, Sherlock. Dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, but I know Dana said that he may be stripping, he may strip Kane Velasquez of the title.
If he can't make a March fight. A March fight.
He can do it.
That's 16 fucking months in between title fights. John Jones averages 7. I mean, Jesus Christ, can't these motherfuckers... I pay you to fight. You're a fucking champ. If you can't fight within
Jones,
9...
For me, though, the 205, man, I think if the champ fights about 2 times a year, that's about right. I mean, there's not enough guys out there to have the champ fighting 3 or 4 times a year. It's just not... It's not feasible.
I say it's this simple. I don't give a fuck what weight class or who the fuck you think you are. You don't defend your title every 180 days without due to a legitimate long-term injury, then I'm going to strip you anyway. I'm stripping you of your fucking title. My champions would fight. I don't give a fuck. If you're healthy, you're fighting.
Hey, man, you know, even Brock Lesnar has now been like 47 days since he defended his WWE title. And there's a clause in the WWE championship belt that you got to defend every 30 days, man. So I'm waiting for him to get stripped.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you see
and
guys.
Where's that at?
Hey.
And how's that relevant?
my number one pick.
UFC heavyweight champion, bro.
Hey, my number one pick for the Poodle Cup defended his title 6 times in 14 months. That's a fucking champion.
Who?
Demarte Pena.
Nice.
And then he vacated it. Then he vacated
it. And then he went up a weight class and he's got another title. How badass is he?
Yeah, my mama got a title from that organization.
Yeah,
well, look,
well, you know.
Brennan Saveo won that lightweight champion belt tonight. And he's already got two guys before the main event. They said, hey, whoever wins the fight, that's who I want to fight. They want the shot at the title, you know? They didn't even have the title yet. But anyway, they're going to do it again in March. So.
Hell yeah. Okay, for real. I'm going to go fucking lay Eagle.
From the star
hey,
of Trailer Park Boys comes the world.
What'd you say?
Play me. So I'm still on the road. I said, oh, man, play me something to keep me awake.
Oh, here you go, dude. Check this one out. I can play some music for you.
1, 2.
This will keep you awake. I can play some music, dude.
Here we go. God, not the day I'm on the spot. Here we go. It's the living sacrifice. Here we go. Here we go, I get your phone free day. Here we go, another day, another hour. Here we go, take the box of power. Here we go, I'd rather die on my feet. Here we go, than keep living on my knees. Here we go, another day, another strike. Here we go, just
here we go. Another day, another strike. Here we go.